tips for hardy gardeners. This morning, our longtime host, Mr. Tom Casper. Howdy there, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I got garden gossip for you.
You do?
I do. Rumor has it that local gardeners are trying to figure out. Okay, so we've gotten so used to deer. See deer in the yards, we're grumpy. Even if we like deer, we're grumpy. We see deer in the yard. However, people are finding chipmunks are eating their garden stuff, their flowers. I noticed in particular, folks are concerned about their flowers, but they always preface, you know, what can I do? What can I do to save my flowers? But I don't want to hurt them because they're so cute. You think that's why chipmunks have evolved to be so cute?
Well, you could say that about deer, too, and you could say that about red rabbits. And I know we've talked about you had baby bunnies in your yard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, well, in the deer, and I love the deer, and everybody loves the fawns and everything. But, when they went after my valuable wild plum, I was pretty upset about it. I was a little irked. Right by the house. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you almost said a different word there instead of irked, by the way.
Yeah, but I said irked. I am a broadcast professional after all. So you need to step up to the plate and tell us what we can do. There's been some conversation about plastic forks placed in pots with the tines up to discourage chipmunks, unless they discover they can scratch their tiny little tummies with them. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different, and there's some different sprays and things that you can sprinkle, granular things in your yard to deal with chipmunks. And they will, unfortunately, be a lot of times part of the problem unless you go to extreme measures, which would be the eradication of removal and displacement of them, which never ends up well. So it's learning the things that work, and they work in some areas for some folks. Some folks will use cayenne pepper sprinkled around in their yard because it sometimes is an irritant. That also can work on cats, too, if folks are dealing with cats in their yard doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
In their yard.
Now, I learned back in your hometown of Bismarck, which I don't know if it's probably not an option here, but I know that there was a chief engineer at a station where I worked out there who said that his mom planted prickly pear, and that kept the dogs from digging up the flower beds to find cool places to lie, because we forget, at least I did, that it's semi-arid out there, and cactus, there are some species of cactus that grow wild out there.
Yeah, and there's actually some that grow wild here, too.
Really?
Yeah, I know folks who have some cactuses in their yards that have had them for years. And you know, any kind of thing like that has the potential to be a solution. The other is... I'm not going to say the word eradicate, but finding ways for them to discourage them from coming to your yard. And oftentimes pets will help with that.
Well, some will.
Yeah.
You have holy terriers. Holy terriers take their turf extremely seriously.
Yorkies guard the yard. I mean, he will be out on the end of his leash, like 12 inches from a chipmunk, and the chipmunk wants to get around him, and he's like, nope.
Yeah, it's like, go ahead. I can take you. I'm pretty sure I can take you.
So using some of the different sprays, and like I said, cayenne pepper, people will mix that up with some garlic and water, and spray that around the yard as a deterrent. The other thing, too, is if the animals are taking things like strawberries or tomatoes or things like that, picking those just before they're ripe, because that animal, like us, is waiting for that perfect tomato,
or
waiting for that perfect strawberry or whatever it happens to be.
Got it.
Also, getting them off of the ground or getting them a little bit elevated will help too. So if your tomatoes are on the ground, or if your case of your strawberries, pretty hard to do that. But some of the other things that might be closer to the ground that they're going to go after, try to get them elevated, that will help. But again, picking just before things are ripe, they will still ripen. They will still be just as enjoyable, but won't have the bite marks of a chipmunk or a squirrel or a groundhog or whatever it happens to be.
Now, by the way, with regard to groundhogs, let me simply say that my dad, who grew up on a farm, I was at the home farm once, and there was a groundhog that my dogs and one of the farm dogs had chased into a machine shed, and I saw my dad's face just about go white, and he said, "Get those dogs away from here." He had seen dogs and groundhogs in a face-off before, and the dogs lost pretty badly.
Yeah,
so
pretty powerful animals.
Yeah, like so you might want to have your Yorkie be in charge of chipmunk control, but you might not want to have your Yorkie in charge of groundhog control.
Yeah, and he's about the same size, so
yeah.
So works better.
I have friends down in Iowa that live in a parsonage, and they have badgers setting up housekeeping in their front yard.
Yeah, that's a little different story.
They're pretty upset about this. And I'm thinking, badger? I mean, I know that a badger is not a friendly animal. A badger's not the kind of animal, for the most part, that you're going to, you know, come and feed sunflower seeds to. But I just thought, oh, wow, how cool is that? But they're not, they're just not rocking to the coolness of the whole badger thing.
I would think not.
No.
Along the lines of pests, there's a couple of other things that folks are dealing with this year that are in greater measure than maybe in past years. And one of them most people don't even know about. They may see happening, but they're unaware of what it is. But
there's
a tiny little green insect, and it's called a leafhopper. And as you walk into your garden, and they're prevalent in some of the lettuces and cabbage and things like that, but they're a little insect that almost looks like a tiny grasshopper, and they act sort of similar to a grasshopper. So they'll spring, as in leaf hopping, and they are only in flight for just a second, and they land again, and if people aren't watching for them, they don't see them. But their damage is significant. They can spread disease for one, which can take entire crops out, or they can diminish the harvest greatly by reducing the plant's ability to produce. So folks want to look for that, and it's pretty easy to see if they just go into their garden. And they're on flowers and vegetables and in our trees and in our lawns right now. And they, if they go in and brush those areas or walk through those areas and they see what looks like little dots that are moving, they may want to look at doing some kind of treatment for that, especially in the vegetable garden, because they can do, as I mentioned, significant damage and reduction of harvest.
Ooh.
And pretty easy to deal with organically, which is the way we do things. Using things like insecticidal soap or dormant oil or neem oil. All three are organic based and used in organic gardening and are pretty effective in the control of that. But they do have to do it on a cycle. They can't just apply once and expect it to take care of the problem. So they have to do that.
So you have to do a little research, or you have to get your organic pesticide control from somebody who knows what they're doing and ask them how it's done.
Yep.
It's not just a one and done sort of thing.
Right, right. But
so what else is creeping around that we're not aware of?
It's certainly with our drier conditions, one of the things people aren't seeing a lot of this year that usually are creeping around in great numbers are slugs. which they're out at night, and they so folks often don't see them, but they wake up in the morning and wonder what happened to their hosta. So those aren't near as big a problem this year, which is maybe the only benefit of this drought and fewer mosquitoes. So there's a lot of aphid problems going on, and aphid damage and leafhopper damage looks very similar. So folks with a little research can see what they're dealing with. Both of them easily controlled, again, with regular practice and organic uses. So those are both a couple of the big issues. And surprisingly, talking to some folks who are seeing grasshopper outbreaks, which
really?
We rarely see up here in northern Minnesota. But again, because of these drier conditions, folks are dealing with those. So.
Wow.
So, and similarly, they can be dealt with some of those similar things that I mentioned. But again, persistence and consistency are both keys to helping with that problem. So
tiny little leafhoppers and tiny little aphids. So the person who said, may all your problems be little ones, was not thinking about aphids or leafhoppers, huh?
No, they weren't. They were unaware of the potential that billions of leafhoppers can do in somebody's garden. So
yeah,
okay. Yeah, so those things are going on, and you know, it's time too for folks, if they have hanging baskets or have bought hanging baskets or have bought and planted annuals, to really dedicate some time to those. They need to be deadheaded and those spent flowers removed, or they will go out of bloom, and the people's enjoyment, the folks' enjoyment of those will be diminished. So a good maintenance on those as well. So all this is really about spending more time in the garden, in your yard, and that effort of doing those kinds of things will pay dividends in greater produce and more enjoyment in the garden and more time out in nature. So
it's all good, especially, well, today you might want an umbrella, but especially we're going to have a couple of days where it'll be a little cooler than it's been, and it might be the perfect time to get out there. Oh, one final question. I have a beautiful tree. It is a small autumn blaze maple, and it is beautiful. And the amazing Judy Gibbs came out to get rhubarb, and the amazing Judy Gibbs said to me, you might want to trim some of the lower branches on that maple. And now that the maple is in leaf, it's easy to see where some of that branch trimming could begin, because it's a very young tree. And yet, I always check with you because I never remember about the right. Some things get pruned you can prune them when it's warm, and other things you have to wait until wintertime to prune them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at a young tree and say, yeah, you could use a few leaves, it'll make you shape up a little nicer as you grow.
Mm-hmm.
Is now the time, or do we wait?
Did I plant that autumn blaze maple for you?
As a matter of fact, you did. I even have pictures of it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's beauty. it makes me so happy.
I think if you want to remove a couple of those lower branches, you can do that now.
All right. And the poor...
No, but you are right. There are things you wouldn't want to be pruning now for folks, any kind of trees that produce fruit, so apples or cherries or anything like that, you don't want to be pruning now and wait for winter time to do that.
All right. What about if your lilac bushes are spent and you're like, okay, now I can get after the lilacs?
Yeah.
Now or later.
Coming up, yeah, doing that. Anytime now and into the fall is fine. You're going to probably sacrifice next year's flowers for the most part if you take it all the way down.
Right.
But it will come back strong and produce lots more flowers. So folks whose lilacs have gone out of bloom, now is a good time to cut those.
My poor fence cherries need to be pretty much cut right down to the ground. I thought they were pretty much gone altogether, and then it rained. And then they came back very cheerfully. But still, there is a lot of... They always get beat up by snow piles in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And,
and those you can take to the ground if you need to.
Yeah, so. I think that might just be the ticket. And then they'll spring back in the spring, all renewed and refreshed, and it'll be neato. Hey, TK, you're so smart.
Hope for rain today.
Yes, you are so smart. Thanks for being smart, and thanks for being a part of our show. Just wanted to say, thanks.
Well... Well, I'm good at 50% of that. No, I'm just kidding.
It varies. You know, every so, yeah. You know, I mean, sometimes you just like to switch off. That's okay. It's all good. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Make yourself a good day.
I'm going to give it a whirl. Tom Casper, Master Gardener and our longtime host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of Northland Morning on 103.3 KUMD.